"Perhaps just a wee bit less old, sir?" Polly suggested, although in truth Blouse had reminded her of her Aunt Hattie 2/3 of the way through a glass of sherry. "You think so?" said Blouse. "Oh, well, if you're really sure."
"And, if you do meet a guard, old women don't usually try to...
"Canoodle," cut in Maledict, whose mind had clearly been hurtling down the same horrible slope.
"Canoodle with them," Polly added, blushing, and then, after a second's thought, added, "unless she's had a glass of sherry anyway."
"And I do suggest you go and have a shave, sir."
"Shave?" said Blouse.
"Shave, sir," said Polly. "I'll lay out the kit, sir."
"Oh, yes, of course. Don't see many old women with beards, eh? Except my auntie Parthenope, as I recall. And no one's got a couple of balloons, have they?" asked the lieutenant.
"Away, sir," said Tonker.
"A big bosom always gets a laugh," said Blouse. He looked around the row of faces. "Not a good idea, perhaps? I got a huge round of applause as the widow Trembler in Tish's Pity She's a Tree. No?
I think Igor could sew something a bit more realistic, sir," said Polly.
"Really? Oh, well, if you really think so," said Blouse dejectedly. "I'll just go and get myself into character."
He disappeared into the building's only other room. After a few seconds, the rest of them heard him reciting, "Lawks, my poor feet!" in varying tones of fingernail screech. The squad went into a huddle.
"What was all that about?" said Tonker.
"He was talking about the theatre," said Maledict.
"What's that?"
"An abomination unto Nuggan, of course," said the vampire.
"It'd take too long to explain, dear child. People pretending to be other people to tell a story in a huge room where the world is a different place. Other people sitting and watching them and eating chocolate. Very, very abominable."
"I would like to eat chocolates in a great big room where the world is a different place," mumbled Lofty sadly.
"I saw a Punch and Judy show in the town once," said Shufty. "Then they dragged the man away, and it became an abomination."
"I remember that," said Polly. Crocodiles should not be seen to eat figures of authority, apparently. Although until the puppet show, no one in the town knew what a crocodile was. The bit where the clown had beaten his wife has also contravened abomination because he'd used a stick thicker than the regulation 1 inch.
"The lieutenant won't last a minute, you know," she said.
"Yes, but he won't listen, will he?" said Igorina. "I'll do the best with my scissors and needle to make a woman of him, but..."
"Igorina, when it's you talking about this sort of thing, some very strange pictures turn up in my head," said Maledict.
"Sorry," said Igorina.
"Can you pray for him, Wazza?" said Polly. "I think we're going to need a miracle here."
Wazza obediently closed her eyes and folded her hands for a moment, and then said shyly,
"I'm afraid she says it will take more than a turkey."
"Was," said Polly, "do you really..." Then she stopped, with the bright little face watching her.
"Yes, I do," said Wazza. "I really talk to the Duchess."
"Yeah, well, I used to too," snapped Tonker. "I used to beg her once upon a time. That stupid face just stared and did nothing. She never stopped anything. All that stuff, all that stupid..."
The girl stopped, too many words blocking her brain.
"Anyway, why should she talk to you?"
"Because I listen," said Wazza quietly.
"And what does she say?"
"Sometimes she just cries."
"She cries?"
"Because there are so many things that people want, and she can't give them anything."
Wazza gave them all one of her smiles that lit up the room.
"But everything will be fine when I'm in the right place," she said.
"Well, that's all right then," Polly began, in that cloud of deep embarrassment that Wazza called up within her.
"You're right," said Tonka. "But I'm not praying to anyone, okay, ever again. I don't like this, Waz. You're a decent kid, but I don't like the way you smile." She stopped. "Oh, no."
Polly stared at Wazza. Her face was thin and all angles, and the Duchess in the painting had looked, well, like an overfed turbot. But now the smile... the actual smile...
"I'm not putting up with that," Tonka snarled. "You stop that right now, I mean it. You're giving me the creeps. Oz, you stop her, him smiling like that."
"Just calm down, all of you," Polly began.
"Breeding well, shut up," said Jackram. "A man can't hear himself chew.